Hello everyone and welcome to Inside Track with me, Luca Allam. I've got a guy here who knows a thing or two about movies and series. Better known as Nads Reviews, Nadim, welcome to the show.
Hey Luca, thanks for having me.
How you doing, mate?
Super good. Really excited to be here with
mate,
you.
Mate, I'm super excited. Look, there's a million things I want to ask you about. I'm a self-confessed movie, what's the word?
Movie buff.
Kind of, but yeah. Without the smartness. I love movies. I love series. But I'm not someone who could say, okay, when was this movie made? Who starred in it? 1, 2, 3. I'm not that kind of guy. Mm. But I'm super excited to talk to you about a lot of things today.
What have you watched lately? I just love asking that.
Like, last thing
you watched.
The thing is, it's like when people ask this, you're either going to react one of two ways. Mm. Oh, he doesn't know anything about movies. Or it's like, he's actually, oh, that surprised me. He's not as bad.
His taste is really bad.
So based on a friend's recommendation, I'm currently watching Baby Reindeer.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's a bit
weird.
Anxiety inducing.
It's weird. Yeah. I'm 3 episodes in, and it's a bit strange.
So it's the biggest show of the year. Yeah. Episode 4 is the one that's going to knock you out.
Is it really?
Like, that's really brutal.
Okay,
but it's brilliant. It's okay. So well done.
Okay, yeah. Look, I want to talk to you about a lot of things. I want to talk to you about your story,
how
you got into Nads Reviews. I want to talk to you a little bit about mental health, because I know that's really important to you as well. I want to talk to you about the classic movie and series related questions to get your take on that as well. And
sounds
I also want to talk to you about the future of the industry and where that's headed.
Sounds good. Exciting stuff. Yeah.
But before we do that, what's going on here with the mug?
Yes. So look, this is my favorite mug of all time, honestly.
Wow.
For many reasons.
Okay.
So on one reason, it's from my wife. And so she says, Nadumi at the top, that's what she calls me. Oh. But more importantly, do you recognize this font?
It's Friends.
Exactly. So it's like the iconic Friends font with the theme song. Can you sing it on the spot?
No. I'll be there for you.
Nice. Well done.
It's early in the morning, ladies and gentlemen, so apologies for that.
So yeah, I love this mug. It's
very good.
It's perfect. And it represents my love for series. So nothing better.
What's my next question going to be around Friends?
Who's my favorite Friends character? Chandler. Rip. We miss Matthew Perry, but you know, he's so sarcastic and he's so me, honestly. Yeah. I can relate to him a lot. Who's your favorite?
Wait, first of all, why Chandler?
Because you feel he's a bit insecure and using sarcasm as a defense mechanism, which is so me. I've always related to this.
Yeah.
And I just like the underdog, and I've always felt like an underdog, honestly. So he's just always been my favorite Friends character. Not the obvious ones like Phoebe or Joey.
Is Phoebe the obvious one?
Phoebe's like the most popular one. Who's your favorite?
Is she really the most obvious one?
Yeah, because she's the kooky, wacky one.
You know what's strange is that when I growing up in the UK, the likes of Phoebe, Ross, Monica were not the obvious ones. Mm. The obvious ones were Joey and Chandler in the UK.
And Rachel, Jennifer Aniston.
To a degree, but everyone loved Joey and Chandler in the UK. Okay. Coming to this region, I've realized that actually that's not the norm. And there might be a regional nuance between favorite characters.
100%. And especially because Phoebe's more slapstick and obvious comedy, not the sarcasm that Chandler might have, for example. Yeah. So I feel like in the region, people love her.
Yeah.
You still haven't answered who your favorite
is. I'll get to it. I'll tell you what, Ross is my favorite. Ross is my favorite. Historically, it has been from the beginning because he has the most variety of.
I'm fine.
He's got everything. My favorite bit was when I think it was Phoebe and Rachel were in his potential future apartment.
Of course,
and
they see
Monica and Chandler making out, and then he's like, get over here. And then Ross goes, so as
we should act that out.
maybe off camera, but look, he's got so many, and the ones where he's trying to pull up his trousers. The pants with the paste and all that kind of stuff.
And when he burns his hands with the margarita, I don't know if you know.
And
that.
The teeth, of course. And the teeth moment. Look, he's got loads. And then he's got a serious side. He's got the romantic side. So what I love most about Ross is the breadth of his scope of character.
And I don't know if you know this, but today, in this day and age, he's considered very toxic in the way he treated Rachel. And there's like essays done about this. Like, you know, was Ross a good guy? Like, did he treat her very badly? Like, you know, because Friends,
really?
People have changed their opinion about the show a bit.
Yeah.
And they say it was, you know, many things, like maybe it was racist, it was sexist, homophobic, so many things.
Yeah.
But one big complaint is that Ross was kind of very toxic.
Yeah.
I don't know if, maybe he was a bit toxic, but David Schwimmer was incredible. I get why he's your favorite.
Okay. Yeah. You've got a choice of Monica, Rachel, or Phoebe. Who you marrying?
Rachel, Jennifer Aniston. I've always
you
had
marry
a crush
Rachel?
On her. Yes.
Dude,
yes.
She'd bankrupt you. Huh? Seriously?
Oh, we're talking about the characters,
yeah,
not the actresses.
No, the actual characters.
Okay, Okay, okay. Okay, no, maybe Monica, because I'm super OCD about cleanliness and all of that. So that'd be great. It'd be a great match. The house would be perfectly clean.
Yeah, plus you'd get, you'd be...
And
be
cooking
well,
all the
time.
Yeah,
yes. You'll be well taken care of. Very nice.
Exactly.
Friends, is it the greatest written series of all time?
I think it's the greatest written sitcom of all time, for sure. Maybe between that and Seinfeld. I don't know if you've ever seen Seinfeld, but that was like my childhood growing up. It's the show about nothing. So it's often considered to be like the greatest comedy of all time. But for me, I think I would pick Friends just because of the comfort it gave me.
Yeah.
Like in my dark times with anxiety and all of that, it's always there for me.
See, it's weird. Everyone says that. And I know a lot of people, they use Friends as almost like you put it on in the background.
Exactly.
Right? You keep it on and it's that comfort. It's that home comfort.
100%.
What is that? Is it because of the screenwriting? Is it because of the characters? Is it because of the timing of that era that we were in?
So there are several things.
Bring back nostalgia? What is it?
I love this question, and there are several things. One, it's just hearing the comforting sound of these characters that you know so much, because you feel like they're at your home with you in the background, and that's beautiful. Like when I lived on my own in New York for a year, many years ago, I used to keep them on in the background, and I would feel less lonely, which is huge. Obviously, the scripts are super witty, super fun. And you said something about the timeless element. So if you realize they're never on their phones, there's no internet, there's no mobile phones.
Except when Sean has got his laptop and Ross is making a list about Rachel.
The list, yes. So it's very timeless. You can watch it now and it feels like it could be in any year, any era. So that, I think, makes it super special.
Can't not ask you about a question that me and my wife have debated for quite some time.
Oh.
Who... and why? So who is the central character in Friends and why?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a big debate. You know, I've never really thought about it. It always feels like, you know, a show that's shared equally, but it's not. If you look at it, I think it's Rachel's show. And let me tell you why. Because we see such a full journey for her from the beginning when she escapes the wedding. That's the first pilot when she enters the show. You see all her different jobs. Her and Ross are always the central character, the central relationship. Okay, maybe a bit at the end. There's more Chandler and Monica, but that's okay. And then she just has such a full journey at the end. And I always felt like she had the most screen time out of everyone. Like, I don't know if you noticed, there are some episodes where you barely see Phoebe or Joey. It never happens that Jennifer Aniston is not in it 90% of the time or so.
Yeah.
So I think if we had to pick someone, she is the central character.
Because of her journey.
Her journey and the screen time. No, from a very tactical perspective, I feel like they never wrote out her character from any episode. There are episodes where Phoebe and Joey are barely in it, if you really check it.
So I disagree with you, and I'm happy to disagree.
Great.
Because I want to give you my point of view.
Tell me.
Joey and Phoebe are not.
Definitely not.
So it's between the four of the other four. I would propose...
Monica,
It's Monica or Ross, and I'll tell you why.
What?
Monica, everything takes place in that apartment. It's Monica's grandmother's apartment.
That's a great point. Okay.
She knows Rachel. She brings Rachel in. She had obviously a relationship with her brother.
Mm.
She obviously knew Chandler from before when they were younger age. She was living with Phoebe when they were younger. They were roommates
Your
together.
Friend's
right
knowledge
in the
is impressive.
Yeah. So because we've talked about this a lot with my wife.
Okay. And Joey, what about Monica and Joey?
Joey, there wasn't because he's a side character and he came in via Chandler. And then, but Joey did actually hit on Monica right at the beginning. But regardless, Joey always comes to Monica's fridge. So Joey uses Monica as that kind of anchor. So I would advocate it is Monica.
Or
Ross. Now, the reason why it's Ross, for the same reasons, right? So Ross and Chandler were best friends. Ross was in love from Rachel right from the beginning. Ross has obviously been with, obviously, Monica as a sister. The reason also with Ross is Ross goes through the biggest transformation. In terms
really?
Of when you first meet him, he's getting divorced, right? Mm. He was getting divorced. His family's getting divorced. He then falls in love with Rachel. He goes through all of that rollercoaster with Rachel. Marries other people throughout, win and out.
But his character doesn't change. I'm sorry. Like his Rachel goes from spoiled to very independent.
Yeah,
and
it's not, so he, it's
he
not
he
about the journey with Rod. It's more about you see his life stages with the kids and having kids throughout versus anybody else. So I think I would advocate more Monica because that she's that glue. Without Monica, and there actually is a line in the saying Monica. It's like I can't remember who says it, but it was literally saying Monica, you're
the glue.
You're the person that. And at the end, the very end, then scene, who's in the middle? It's Monica being hugged by Rachel by Chandler and by Ross. Mm. So she's in the middle as well.
Interesting. Do you think the writers gave it as much thought as
no.
we did?
No, I don't. But that's my point of view. So I would put my money on Monica being the
nice.
Character. This show is not sponsored by Friends, by the way. But before I go any further, can I call you Nadumi now? I'm looking at Nadumi.
I prefer Nads.
Okay, I'll call you Nads. Before I go any further, on my show, I typically ask guests, is there a question, if there's a question they don't want to answer, that they feel uncomfortable with, probably won't happen, but do you have a safe word that you would say if I did ask that
safe
question?
Safe word?
Yeah.
It has to be something I would never, ever say. Probably something like stocks.
Stocks.
Stocks, finance. I know nothing about that. I'm not interested. So if I say stocks, that's my safe word.
Fair enough. Okay. Right. Lots to talk to you about. You mentioned mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a passion point of yours.
It is. So
I want to understand why.
So I don't know if you know this, but my parents passed away, my dad at 18 and my mom at 23, both cancer, unrelated.
Very sorry to hear that.
Thanks. So that created a lot of anxiety within me. Obviously, there was the obvious grief and all of that that comes with it. But at a few years later, at around 28, I had my first panic attack. And that really, have you ever had a panic attack?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think
so. Okay, which is amazing. And I hope it stays that way. And so that was terrifying, honestly.
What happened? Why did you have a panic attack?
I don't know. It felt like everything. Okay, I was traveling, so I wasn't in my comfort zone. And obviously, when you lose your safety net, your parents, you feel like you don't have a comfort zone. So I was traveling, so I was not in a place that I considered home. And it just happened very randomly. Nothing bad happened. And I just started, you know, crying uncontrollably, feeling like I was going to die. There was this heart racing, all of that. It was terrible. And my wife now, Sara, was with me at the time. It was our first year together, and she was super supportive, which was incredible. Like, that showed me how special she was, actually. And so that kicked off a few years of panic attacks and anxiety. And how did I deal with that? Through many ways. Therapy, which I talk about a lot in my videos.
What
it helps
kind of therapy?
A lot.
What kind of therapy?
Just going to a therapist once a week to discuss everything, you know?
At the conscious level. Did you ever do anything like theta healing? Or
oh, no. But I've heard a lot about these, and I am totally open to trying new stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it was CBT, the therapy that I did, and that I still do. And that helped me a lot, just learning how to navigate my very negative thinking patterns. We all have negative thinking patterns sometimes,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
I catastrophize
and
a lot.
And it spirals.
Right. And you
spiral. Negative thought becomes negative action, negative behavior.
100%.
And you repeat it, and you can't seem to get yourself out of it.
It's just a vicious cycle. Yeah. So she's helped me a lot through that. And by the way, I think one goes to therapy even when they're great. I'm doing great these last 2-3 years because Nads Reviews is doing so well. I'm living my dream, all of that.
Yeah.
But I still go because just like we go to the gym.
It's preventative as well.
Of course,
right?
It's preventative.
Yeah.
Just like you go to the gym for your body,
yeah.
It's good to do that for your mind as well,
okay.
Honestly.
Of course it is.
So I recommend therapy to everyone. It helped me so much, and it helped me get my anxiety under control, in addition to medication, which is a big taboo in the region. But I made it I was super honest about the fact that I started Cipralex. I'm not telling anyone to take or not take a medicine. You do that with your doctor, of course. But for me, it helped a lot. Because I had been through so much trauma.
Yeah.
So I talk about anxiety a lot in my videos. It means a lot to me. And I get so many. I did a video a few weeks ago and it went viral because so many people started messaging me, not publicly commenting, because it's still a taboo, messaging me about their anxieties and their loss and their grief. So I think it's something we have to talk about a lot in the region, especially men.
So the obvious question is, I guess the natural question would be, is reviewing movies and series, is that a natural way of helping you cope with anxiety?
Definitely. They're so linked because series was my escape from anxiety. It just transports you into another world, right? That's the beauty of movies ever since I was a kid, and I'm sure it's the same.
But isn't that a bandage solution? Is that because it's an escapism, but you have to come back. When we escape something, you tend to come back.
Very true. So very true. It was kind of a bandage solution, but it kept me sane enough until I was old enough maybe or responsible enough to go to therapy.
Yeah.
So I think it was a self-medicating kind of thing until I was able to get the proper help. So series is definitely linked to my two passions, film, TV, and the anxiety is definitely linked because that was my safe haven, and
look,
it still is.
I can see it. I mean, you're glowing. I can see how passionate you are. I see you're in your, you're doing exactly what you were meant to be
100%.
Doing, and that's how it's coming across.
And by the way, the anxiety was exacerbated because I worked in advertising. You worked in media and advertising, all of that, for 10 years.
Yeah.
So the corporate world drained my soul.
20 years.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
So honestly, 10 years of corporate world,
yeah.
Drained my soul, you know, all the pitches and the late nights and all that. I wasn't passionate about it. So doing what you love removes so much anxiety.
No, 100%.
That's a big lesson, honestly.
Do you think in this region it's a bit of a taboo, mental health, talking about it, people owning up to it, people sort of coming out with it, advocating for it?
100%. And that's why I insist on doing this. And by the way, I was terrified the first time I did a video opening up about my anxiety, because you do get a lot of trolls and haters or judgmental people simply who say, who judge you and say, you shouldn't be sharing this, you shouldn't be talking about this. Yeah. You're influencing people to go to therapy or take medication, which are not good in their eyes. Yeah. So this is a battle I'm fighting, but I think I've accomplished a lot in this and making it something that people can talk about and be comfortable talking about it.
Yeah.
So it's still a taboo, of course.
It is.
But for men.
Yeah, and well, 100%. Yes. But you're using your voice, you're using your platform as a way in which you can obviously spread the message, which is fantastic. Ever an end side to this? Is this going to be an ongoing thing? Do you foresee for the next sort of 5-10 years? Or do you feel like at some point we'll realize we'll come together and actually it will become so mainstream that you don't need to be advocating for it anymore?
That's a good point. Honestly, I think I can only speak for myself. I think anxiety is going to be a part of my life forever. It's just me. I've been a worrier since I was a kid. Yeah. And I think I got that from my mom. Like, I remember even when I was 10, I used to worry about everything, which is very sad, but it's also when you grow up in Lebanon. A therapist told me this once. Our parents like grew up in civil war and all of that, so there's a lot of trauma, and they pass this on to you, obviously. Yeah. So I think personally, anxiety is always going to be a part of my life, but I now know how to manage it, and I hope that's the same for people in the region. They learn how to manage it, but they should keep talking about it. It should not be something that's, you know, shunned away. I can't tell you, Luca, how many people come to me all the time, message me every day. Oh, both my parents passed away from cancer too. I'm going through so much anxiety. Let's talk about it. Just knowing you're not alone makes the biggest 100% difference.
And of course, you weren't alone. You have a brother, right? When you were going through this with your parents.
So I have an older brother. He's 9 years older, and he became kind of like my father figure. So when I moved to Dubai 5 years ago, that kicked off my anxiety even more because he wasn't here to take care of me, even though I wasn't a kid. I was 30 or whatever. But I'm curious. You said you've never had a panic attack. Do you have anxiety?
I have a lot of anxiety. But recently I've been trying to tackle that and using therapy as a way of doing that.
Okay, that's amazing. I love that. We can discuss therapy. Yeah, I'm so curious. Yeah, but first, how does your anxiety present itself?
Look, I talk a lot about this in my working life because I obviously work still in the corporate industry. There's two things: there's pressure and there's stress, right? Pressure is when you're in control of the outcome of something. You know, you get given a to-do list, you go have to do it yourself. Stress is when you ask someone else to help you do the to-do list, so you no longer have that control. So for me, anxiety is not being able to control the outcome of something and relying on someone or something else in order to complete a task.
100%.
So the more senior you get in the world of, in the corporate world, you climb that corporate ladder, as it were, the more the pressure reduces and the more the stress increases because you're literally managing more people, you're not having to do specific things and tasks, you're having to rely on big organizations and people underneath you to be managing that. So for me, the more senior you got, the more stressful you would get. So it's about how do you find coping mechanisms with stress?
Right. And do you ever have that like heart rate feeling where like it's increasing and like you're super, or do you wake up with a feeling of gloom, which is something that I've had a lot? Do you ever have that?
I have times where, look, I'm very fortunate. I mentioned it a few times already on a few different shows, but my wife is amazing at when it comes to helping me sort of take notice of the current mood that I'm in and say, Luca, you're being a bit 1, 2, 3. And it makes me self-aware. And that immediately is the first starting point to calming down. Because I can get worked up. I get quite, so...
By the way, awareness is the key. That's the word.
Yeah,
if you're aware of it, the key is to let it pass you by. That's what everyone says.
But I've also noticed that I don't eat every 4 or 5 hours. I tend to get very angry. So there
I
is...
can relate.
If you were to do a correlation between Luca's getting anxious and Luca not having it, they're pretty much on point.
The hangriness.
Yeah, 100%. But look, thank you for talking about it. I think it is an ongoing thing that needs to be continued to be talked about, mental health and mental awareness in this region specifically. Definitely. Especially among men from a certain age. I can't remember too many people who are in their 50s, male, who are Arab, who talk about mental health.
As
an example, right?
I've never seen that.
But we are seeing more and more, such as yourself, coming through who are much more positive in the advocacy of this type of illness.
Look, I look at my dad, like, I don't remember him ever talking about his feelings, ever crying in front of me,
yeah.
Ever saying I love you. Oh, now we're going to know a whole other thing. But I mean, yeah. And no, they were not in touch with their feelings yeah. at all yeah. or their mental state.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hopefully this generation and the coming ones will keep making these big changes, and we
your life, yeah, 100%. And your life partner is going to help you a lot with
of
that,
of course.
Right? And she knows, she will know everything about you, your previous life. You know, I'm guessing you're obviously married.
Yeah,
right?
My wife Sara is super supportive. Okay. As I told you, she was there during my first yes. insane panic attack, and she yeah. handled it beautifully.
Yes,
so very nice. That was like
it gives you that she's confidence. The one. It gives you the confidence.
She's the one.
And you guys yeah. planning a kids at some point in the future?
Definitely, yes. Amazing. That's definitely in the cards.
So all the lessons yeah. that you had from your dad, or you know, from other generations, you're going to try and course correct, if you like, right?
Of course. And I feel like when you've lost both your parents, you have this excitement and need to build your family again, because it feels like it's kind of broken. So honestly, yeah. I can't wait to be a dad.
Amazing. Yeah. Look, it sounds like you're gonna be a great dad, and you're gonna watch a lot of stuff with them.
Oh, yeah.
But try not to impart the Chandler thing. Chandler wasn't the best character.
Imagine my
RIP, 100% RIP. Great miss, but Ross all the way.
Look, I imagine my content when I have a kid. Like, I'm imagining I'm gonna start like yeah. 5 family-friendly things to watch, things you can watch with your
Miss
kid.
Rachel like, is gonna Miss be the next. Yeah, you're gonna be literally
Peppa Pig. Who else?
All
is
of
there?
That stuff. There's a lot. There's look, I've obviously got 2 young kids. I've got a 1-year-old and I got a 2-year-old right. at the moment, and it's just we try and limit screen time as much as possible.
But it's tough to be a
is,
parent
it
now
is,
with
it
screens.
Is, but,
wow.
but if you're not giving them screen time, you just got to constantly entertain them. And a 2-year-old, a toddler, even the 1-year-old, they just need stuff,
yeah,
right?
Simulation,
so
yeah.
it's Miss Rachel has been a sort of
Miss Rachel
a fixture in this house for the
I'll
last
keep that in
for
mind.
The last year or so. The thing is, at some point, you start learning as well. I was like, oh, that's really interesting. You know? But we're not here to talk about Miss Rachel. This is not sponsored by Miss Rachel as well. Let's talk about. Look, let's get the obvious question out of the way.
Right.
What is the one movie first of all that you've watched and you would watch? It's the easiest go-to movie for you. What is that movie?
Okay. Okay. So this is not my favorite. I'm not telling you the best movie of all time. I'm telling you the one that I can rewatch often.
Yeah,
right?
That's the one.
Serendipity. Have you heard of it?
Of course. Yeah. John Cusack.
Yes,
Kate Beckinsale.
Kate Beckinsale. How could you say John Cusack before Kate Beckinsale?
Like, well, I used to love John Cusack.
But she was like my ultimate crush. And this is like the best romantic comedy, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unique. If you've never seen Serendipity, please check it out. It's very underrated.
It's about 30 years old as well. 25,
yeah, exactly.
30 years old.
I'm getting older. I still feel like I'm just stuck at 20, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
35.
So what is it about the movie that you would watch it over and over
again? So there's
again?
That comfort zone feeling, and like they're in New York and it's just very Christmassy and beautiful and that whole storyline about fate constantly bring them together.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a really beautiful movie with a lot of nice chemistry, and it just gives me good vibes.
Yeah.
And I actually made my wife watch it for the first time a few months ago, and she absolutely loved it. Because
yeah.
if she didn't, that would have been
a deal breaker.
Yes.
Bit late, but
after 5 years of marriage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know it. I love that.
I love the movie. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
I tend to watch it during Christmas time, so
exactly,
it tends
yes.
to be one of my Christmas movies. And
has your wife seen it?
My wife has seen it.
Yeah. Does she approve of the film?
She watched it because of me.
Exactly.
I've got 2 older sisters who introduced me when I was younger to it, so I've got them to thank. But I love John Cusack's character in the movie, and I love his sort of sidekick. He's that kind of journalist who works for the New York Times. He does the obituaries.
I love that. The obituary thing is so
and
funny.
He's the guy with the last word, final word.
Yes.
He's that guy.
What happened to John Cusack? He was really good.
He was good. He was great in Gross Point Blank. I loved him in Gross Point Blank.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I've heard a lot about
really
it.
Good movie.
Yeah?
Really good movie. Oh, 100%. Watch
adding
that movie.
To the never ending list.
America's Sweethearts also.
Of course. I love that.
He was a bit of a nut job in it.
That's also an underrated movie, but I like it a lot.
You know, he was brilliant. So John Cusack's a winner for me.
Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale.
What are you?
I mentioned
say
this
about
to my
Kate?
Wife.
Yes.
She's beautiful.
Yes.
Disclaimer: if Kate Beckinsale was here, if I ever have her on my show, I would be super happy.
Kate, we're waiting for you. Yes.
Kate has she. Have you noticed she's got her hands are the same size as John Cusack.
What?
Watch the movie
How
again.
How did you even notice?
Watch
that?
The movie again. There's bits when she puts her hands on his face and vice versa. They have the same size hands. So
this
either John
so
Cusack
creepy.
Has
You're
very small
Kate
hands. Either John Cusack has very small hands, or Kate Beckinsale has large hands. Either
Let's
one.
Assume it's John.
Yeah,
100%. Not her.
But watch it again. Think of me when you
okay.
watch it.
Okay, great.
Not in that
now
way.
Now you're hitting on me.
And favorite series, your go-to series of all time.
Okay, I'm not going to say Friends because that's obvious. And that's on all the time, so I don't even need to go back to it. If I had to pick one, It's probably Alias. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Okay, so it's a spy thriller. I love spy thrillers.
This is where you're trying to show off. How?
No, yeah. By the way, it's not some prestige show, by the way. It's kind of like a Mission Impossible, which are very blockbuster, popcorn-y type movies. Yeah. They're not considered Oscar prestige movies. So Alias is Mission Impossible in series format.
Okay.
And it has Jennifer Garner, who I love. Full of twists. Every episode ends with like bombshell twist.
Yeah.
So this was the show that got me into series, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, okay. And it's incredible. Yeah. You should definitely check it out.
When did it come out?
2000.
Okay, so it's getting quite old.
Yeah. You can find it now on Disney Plus, I think.
Isn't it weird that 2000 for us doesn't seem that long ago?
Right? 10 years ago.
24 years ago. It's like, what's creepy. It's like, what is going on?
The 90s to me are 10 years ago.
I know. It's absolutely.
How old are you?
I'm 42. Actually, I'm 41. Okay. 41. I'll be 42 later on this year. But do I look 42?
No, you look much younger. So I turned 36.
We're gonna
next
cut
week.
That bit later. We're definitely gonna cut that bit. So talk to me a little bit about NADS Reviews, right?
Yes.
So first of all, I love the format. It's straight to the point. It's very human. It's very conversational. It's like me and you having a conversation about, hey, Luca, hey, Nadine, what do you think about this? I think, don't watch it. Guy's crap. This is not very good. The plot line sucks. I saw one recently about...
With an ad rating at the end.
Yeah, that's with an ad rating. When you look up and you see with an ad rating. And
I noticed that. I look up. Okay.
Of course.
I'm trying
course.
To make that a thing.
Yeah.
What did you... You said you saw one recently.
I saw something about a Korean series or something. It was a Korean series. And you said it was one of the worst. You gave it a 0.5 rating.
Super rich in Korea.
That's the one.
Yes,
and
guys,
that was
trauma. So first of all, let's start with, do you watch reality shows? I'm sure your wife does, like my wife.
Okay, will you judge me if I say yes?
No, there's no right or wrong answer. I watch everything.
Are you sure? Because
yes,
a lot of people will say there is
a
right or wrong answer.
Yes.
You're literally polarizing whoever's watching this. Of course reality series sucks.
No, I watch everything.
Of course
everything.
They're amazing.
I watch everything, really.
Okay.
Like I've been watching, I stopped last year, but I watched Grey's Anatomy for 18 years.
I watched 9 seasons. And
that's incredible. Incredible, you stayed.
Yeah, but because of my wife, right?
Ah, okay.
I was like, it's the same episode. Yeah. I'm like, seriously, there's nothing new in this. And I was like, maybe after series 5, I'm like, okay, series 6 will be different. Series 7 will be different. I'm like, no, I'm not going to keep on going.
Anyway, everyone's dead. Like, it's a whole new cast now.
That's the ending.
So,
those who haven't watched it, everyone
they
dies.
They all die. So reality shows.
Reality shows.
Do you like reality shows?
I do.
Okay.
Yes.
What are your favorites?
I'm watching, there's one in the UK, which is Love Island.
I've never seen it. I know it's a classic.
Yeah,
yes.
So Love Island's been going for quite some time. So just for you to know, in the UK they're doing the summer sort of plans. There's the Euros, you're in football, right? Big Euros competition. There's the Olympics, whatever else, and then they're talking about Love Island. They're putting Love Island in the same category as Euros,
so it's
because
a big pop
every summer
thing,
every summer there's a bunch of guys and girls, they get whisked off to a villa and they eventually get voted off the show, or they stay on the show depending if they fall in love or not, etc.
And you've watched all the seasons?
No,
like
I haven't. I've only but because each one has about 50 episodes,
right?
And they're about 45 minutes each episode. I've only completed one season, but I'm nearly completed the second one.
Okay, nice.
So I started from I watched season 10, which was last year's, and now I'm watching season 9's.
Okay.
So I don't want to watch from the very first one because it'll be like not as relevant. So I'm ready for the next season.
So I hear it's super addictive. I've never watched it.
It is.
My wife loves reality shows. And through her, I started... So wait, the original reality show for me is Survivor. Have you ever seen it?
Heard of it, never watched it.
So, you know, on an island, you know the concept, and all the voting each other out. That was brilliant because it was very psychological. It's a psychological experiment.
Isn't Takeshi's Castle one of the originals as well?
Takeshi's Castle, never heard of it.
It's like a bunch of... It's like a contestant thing where they have to go battle to get into a castle.
Oh, so like a game show.
It's like a game show, but you feel like it's like you follow these really weird characters. Watch Takeshi's Castle. Review Takeshi's Castle. It was like done in the 80s, I think, and they brought it back. It's not really reality show. It's more game show contestant. But there's a reality element.
I'll add it to the list, but I doubt I'll get to it.
Yeah. It's completely crazy.
Sounds unhinged.
Yeah.
So Survivor was the original one that I loved. But the love stuff, like Love is Blind, Too Hot to Handle, all of those Netflix ones these few years, my wife is obsessed with them.
Yeah.
I'm not totally a fan. Super Rich in Korea. That's your question. So this came out a few weeks ago, and it's the worst thing you might ever watch life.
That's a big statement.
Horrible.
That's a big statement.
Absolutely traumatizing to watch.
Nadumi, that's a big statement. That's a big statement.
So it's supposed to be about, super rich in Korea, but it's not even about Koreans. There's one Korean. There's an Arab. There's an Italian. They all live in Korea, and they're just showing off their rich houses, their clothes. There's no drama. Like, look at something like Dubai Bling.
So they tried to make it like Dubai Bling.
Exactly. No, but not
but they
even.
Failed.
Dubai
they failed.
Bling is actually super entertaining. I know
yeah,
that's
yeah,
a lot
they,
of
but
hate.
But they tried. So
they're
the producers,
trying to do.
They were like, right, let's do Dubai Bling in Korea.
They failed completely. Okay. There's not even any drama in it. There's no conflict. You need conflict in a reality show. You can't just have people showing off and that's it.
Yeah.
So it has no reason to exist. Yeah. Honestly.
Look, yes. I love your show. It's straight to the point. Like I said, it's very direct, very human. It's like you. You're a conversational guy. You're very easy to talk to, and you're the same off camera as you are on camera, which is
nice.
Perfect.
That's good to hear.
So, mate, well done for a great format. I know a lot of people go to you, and I was telling people that you're coming on. Oh, we listen to him. I always want to check the ratings, and I always want to take his advice on that.
You know, because not many people are doing this. Like, all the content creators are talking about food or fashion.
Yeah.
Or lifestyle.
Yeah.
My niche is totally film and TV because that's what I'm passionate about and it makes me happy. Yeah. So if it makes me happy, I'm sure it makes other people happy.
So give me your assessment of the Arabic content here in the region. Or the movies or series. What's your take?
Okay. So I had never watched an Arabic film or series in my life until 2 years ago. People told me, why are you not reviewing Arabic series? Especially in Ramadan.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big thing for the Arab entertainment industry. So I said, okay, why not start? I watched one, I reviewed it, and the engagement was insane. I said, oh, this is what people want from me. They don't care as much about the Netflix, the Apple TV, the Disney Plus, all the foreign Hollywood stuff. So now I review a lot of Arabic series. Obviously, it's not the same quality. It's not comparable. You kind of have to lower your standards a bit. No, I don't mean
so
that.
So when you rate them, you're rating them not on the Western rating.
100%.
You're doing an Arab
and people
rating.
Don't get that. Yeah. Like sometimes I will see a great Arabic show and I will give it an 8 or a 9.
Yeah.
And they will say, oh, but this is not the same as Mad Men or some.
But you
can't compare.
Yeah, but do you contextualize it with your rating?
Of course.
So you go Arab rating 8.5.
Oh, no, I don't call it Arab rating. But I said compare to Arabic shows. Yeah. Even reality shows like Dubai Bling, for example, I'm comparing it to other reality shows. It's great for reality, for what it is. Everyone's in their own, you know, vertical, their own competition. You can't compare everything together.
Yeah.
You can't put a rating on Serendipity and Dubai Bling and say that it's similar. So Arab series, Arab movies, there's a lot more investment now in production. There's better quality. Have you watched an Arabic series?
The thing is, because like I unless there's an English subtitles,
it's I watch with English subtitles all the time.
It's very difficult for me to follow.
Yeah.
So
even for me, because there are Kuwaiti shows, there's Egyptian, there's so many dialects. I need the subtitles.
But I always notice that the Lebanese series always shot in Turkey.
Oh yeah. This
so when
this
we're
is like the bane of my existence.
And then you see like these beautiful houses, clean streets,
that's
nice roads. I'm like,
and Lebanon is beautiful, but I don't know why they're not filming
but
there,
it doesn't look like that.
It doesn't look like that, like suburban houses with so much greenery, of course, if you're talking outside Beirut. So yeah, this is the big thing now. They get a Turkish series and they do a 90 episode.
That's 90, another thing.
90.
They're obsessed with the volume. Yes. It's like they think more is better.
More is better, exactly. Just quantity.
Yeah.
And they do these 90 episode stuff, and I've watched many of them. Those get me the biggest engagement, by the way.
Have you ever watched a Turkish series called Ertugrul?
No, but this is iconic. This was before I started watching. Okay. Like my aunt watched it. She loves it. Have you seen it?
Ertugrul got me through COVID.
No way.
It got me. Because each season is 100 or 110 episodes.
Each episode is like 3 hours.
50 minutes. No, it's 50 minutes or an hour. It got me through COVID.
Wow. Is it well made?
It's not. Look, it was the only Turkish series I've ever watched. Mm. I met the actor. Really nice guy, actually.
Nice.
The main, really nice. I met him in Dubai. Mm. But the show is... It's historic, it's interesting, it's kind of, and it's easy to watch, but it's I love how the Turks act.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, but it's so over the top. I know Bollywood is another sort of level.
Was there a lot of slow motion in it and stuff, or not so
not
much?
Not Bollywood level style, but it's you feel like it's a bit exaggerated. Movements are more exaggerated.
But probably beautiful locations, right? And costume design and all of that.
No,
like
all of that.
The Turks really invest a lot in their production,
100%.
Which is amazing. So Arabic series.
Yes, yeah, so Arabic series. So you think the region is doing well,
it's getting better for sure.
Okay.
I have a big issue with writers here. So I don't know if you know, but if you look at Game of Thrones, for example, it has a writer's room. There's a bunch of writers who sit in a room and they crack the story together. Here you have one writer.
Yeah.
Okay. One guy, one woman writing 90 episodes.
Yeah.
How the hell does that work? How can you possibly write different voices
on
your own?
Imagine they've had a really bad they've had a really bad day, or they had a night out. They had a night out before. They had a couple of drinks. They walk in and like, let's be creative. It's like, oh, I've got to write. No.
I mean,
that's the problem. You put all, like you said, all of your eggs are in this one person's basket to be creative.
Exactly. Right. And who's gonna tell them, no, this idea doesn't work? Why don't we try this? Like, just with the conversation, me and you, we can crack a million things just brainstorming.
Let's do it. Takeshi's Castle meets Korean Asian rich people, whatever it is.
Love it. Let's do it. So yeah, I have an issue with writers. the writing room in the region, which doesn't exist. I'm hearing like some companies are starting to implement it, which is great, but it just blows my mind when I see a 90 episode show written by one person. 100%. Come on.
So Naz Reviews focuses on English and Arabic. Would you ever consider Nollywood, sort of Nigerian or African style content, and expand out, and Bollywood as well? Is there things that you would love to take the show beyond just English and Arabic, or is it just when you want to focus on these two?
100%, especially because now, like, if you see Netflix, for example, they're the best example of this. Like, they have productions coming from all over the world. Like, Spain does incredible stuff. If you've seen Money Heist, you've seen so many great shows.
Casa de Papel.
Casa de Papel. I wasn't sure if you knew that, so I just gave you the Money
Heist. Por supuesto, señor. Hablo español.
Squid Game, Korea. Yes, like, you know, they have shows from all over the world. Yeah. So the world is getting smaller because of streaming platforms, which is incredible. You're exposed to so many things. And I always try to watch other stuff. Korean, Spanish, Turkish, and I want to expand more.
Yeah.
Bollywood, Nollywood, I would love to. The more, the better.
I think, as you can see, I'm a big... I'm very passionate about movies and series. In fact, I did, in my university, I did a thesis on the leading actors and actresses as product placement vehicles in movies.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
I basically convinced my teacher for me to watch a bunch of movies over the summer.
What was your major?
It was marketing and advertising. Okay, so I had to basically watch the top grossing movies with these actors and the actresses featured within a certain period of time.
Yeah.
And anytime one of the actors or actresses would be using product placement, or they'd be driving a car, or they're picking up a mug that's branded, whatever it is, I'd jot it down. So basically, I got graded on watching movies in the summer.
Right? Brilliant.
It was an amazing way to basically finally, sign off.
You'd love Arab series because it's all product placement, but it's horribly done. It's not like how they do it in Hollywood. So what did you dissect? What did you watch?
I dissected that there are... I've actually got it here, funny.
I've actually got it here.
So this is actually the book.
Oh, nice.
Right. It's actually quite a thick
piece. What's it called?
It's called, An Analysis of Leading Hollywood Actors and Actresses as Product Placement Vehicles.
Okay, impressive.
So what I did is I looked at... And this was done in 2005, guys. So this is nearly 20 years old. But I looked at, back in the day, when I was doing this, I picked the top three... most paid actors and actresses.
I can try to guess.
Right, go for it. Top three.
Tom Cruise
guys.
Has al- Tom Cr- guys, right?
Yeah.
Tom
guys.
Cruise has always been like the highest paid. Is he in the top three?
He
for
is.
Sure.
He is.
Will Smith?
Nope.
No. Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt's there.
Yes.
Do you know Brad Pitt's breakthrough movie? What
Legends
started it all for him?
Of the Fall. No. Fight Club. No. Interview with the Vampire.
So good. No. But Thelma and Louise is the winner.
Oh, yes, Thelma and Louise. But sorry, it's a classic, but I haven't seen it. Yes.
And there's one more guy.
Whew, Will
Smith. So you've got Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt.
One more. Who's a huge, huge man.
So back
Tom Hanks?
Johnny Depp.
Oh, Johnny Depp, of course, yes.
And then go with the actresses?
Definitely Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts.
She's often been considered one of the biggest. Is Sandra Bullock on there?
Sandra Bullock is not on there.
Charlize Theron.
Cameron Diaz
yes,
is there.
Of course,
what was her breakthrough movie?
Now, for me, it was The Mask, but no, she did. There's something about Mary. Have you seen that? One of my favorite.
Of course.
But her breakthrough film? Was it There's Something
About
Mary?
It was The Mask.
Oh, The Mask. That came before. Okay. And who's the third actress?
Nicole Kidman.
Oh, really? Yeah. She's not considered such a box. Oh, Mbala, she did some huge hits.
Here's a pop. Well, this is a big one. You can read it later.
Love it. What was, can I get a signed
copy? By the way,
copy?
I was going through, I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I might read it again. But yeah, you can get a signed copy.
Okay, great.
Name, how many movies have Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise been in together?
Together?
Yeah.
Okay, so they have Risky Business. No, I don't think she was in. There's Days of Thunder.
That's one.
Yes, and the other, I think they won't.
Well, I don't know the answer.
Obviously, there's Eyes Wide Shut,
yes,
which I haven't seen.
That's
which
two.
I was too young for it, I remember. My parents didn't let me watch it. I think that's these two. Have they done something else together?
Far and Away.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
You haven't watched Far and Away?
No. What's it about?
Far and Away is about, it's basically a bunch of Irish people,
set
back in, obviously, it's a periodic piece, that they go to America in search of new land, right?
Okay.
It's like, we're opening up the borders to America, come get new land. So, Far and Away, literally going to a new land to find...
Interesting.
To find,
so
make their fortune. So Eyes Wide Shut, Far and Away...
Yeah.
And Tropic...
Days of Thunder.
Not
yes.
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder.
completely different movie.
Yeah. Although he was in that. That was fun. He was in that suit, right? They changed the
prosthetics. He was singing Apple Bottom Jeans. Boots with the fur. Okay. In my show, Alex, this has been great, and like honestly, I could talk to you for hours.
Yeah,
in my show, I've got a bag with a bunch of balls in it. It's questions linked to you or the industry that you're in, right?
Okay.
So what I'd love you to do is to take one ball out, read it out, and then we'll talk about it.
Sounds good.
All right. Do you like the branding?
Show me what does it.
It's all about the branding.
Oh, nice, the inside track.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Let's get some good insights.
Suspense. Ah, they're actual balls.
We've spared no expense when it comes to
Hollywood. Overrated or marketing genius? Hollywood in general?
So Hollywood have you can pop it anywhere, mate. On the Hollywood have they've created amazing stuff, right?
Right.
But they've also marketed themselves.
Okay, I get what you mean.
So is it actually as good as we think it is, okay, or are they just amazing at marketing?
Okay, so I can only talk about my experience personally. I know it's very cool to hate on Hollywood, right? That they do a lot of popcorn, blockbuster entertainment. And people like to say that, you know, the independent stuff are better, the artistic stuff, the film festival stuff. And of course, those are brilliant. But I personally got the most joy growing up from the popcorn blockbuster stuff, the stuff they marketed to us, the Mission Impossibles, all the fun disaster movies, superhero movies. Those are the stuff that may help me escape from the tough times in my life. It's not the artsy stuff.
It's not the ones that make you think necessarily and question so much. It's more
and you appreciate those, right?
Yeah.
But do those make me want to be a filmmaker? By the way, that's still the goal, to become a filmmaker. I went to film school. And so
did you ever want to, sorry, just on that segue, did you ever want to take that into an actual full-time career?
Definitely. So I went to film school. I studied directing. This was in New York. My mom got sick at the time, so I came back to Lebanon. I worked in advertising, hence the soul-sucking 10 years.
But you don't regret you clearly don't regret it. You have no issues with advertising.
So then content creator these few years, which has been great, and which has helped me build all the contacts I need. I just wrote a show, which I can't talk about yet, but I'm trying to sell it now, get it made. I think it's very special, and no one has seen anything like it in the region. So I'm coming back to the original dream. But to answer your question, Hollywood, of course, there's a bit of overratedness to it, but it's the marketing and all that blockbuster stuff, that's what brought me the most joy in life.
Yeah. Do you think they know how to give the audiences what they want, or do they drive the desire themselves? So
that's great.
You know what I mean?
That's a great question. They know, but they also give them too much. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's so many reboots and sequels, and everything is coming back. It's horrible, you know? And they won't let the stuff that was from our childhood die in peace. And everything from another Indiana Jones to endless Star Wars. They're diluting all these amazing brands.
Best Indiana Jones movie you watched?
Honestly, I watched them all when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And the one that sticks out most was the first one. I don't know if that was the
Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah, that was the original. Okay. Yes. Okay. Was that your favorite? What's the favorite?
Last Crusade was my favorite. The one with Sean
They're
Connery.
They're all a blur, honestly. The one with Sean Connery. Now Sean Connery.
I've lost him.
when
he goes over there, I've lost him.
That's a very good impersonation.
Well, thank you very much.
Who's your favorite Bond? Just one.
Oh, that's another great
Are you a James Bond fan?
I do like
seen every single one.
I do like James Bond.
What do you think of Daniel Craig?
I grew up with Pierce Brosnan. That was my age group, right?
Same. So GoldenEye was his first.
It was probably his best as well, most iconic. But James Bond is always going to be Sean Connery for me. But I do like Daniel Craig's impersonation
Craig.
Of that role.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the next Bond is obviously...
No one knows. That's the endless debate. But I love Daniel Craig as well. You know that he got a lot of hate when he was cast.
Yeah.
Blonde, Bond, all of that. Too brutal. He was awesome. I thought he was great.
Sean
Connery's the OG.
Let's do an expo. There's one in there, mate. There's one in there that I am so excited about. Because this debate has been raging on for years amongst people who understand and love film and movies.
Okay. Biggest insight you've taken from watching.
Okay. So when you watch, whatever it is.
Yeah.
What is the biggest, because it always resonates with someone. What is the biggest insight that you've taken from a series or from a film? And can you name that series or film and what that insight was?
So when you say insight here, taken something that I can adapt to my life, like it's a lesson that I've learned, for example.
Yes.
Look, I don't know if you've heard about a show called Ted Lasso.
Of course.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant on Apple
show.
TV.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a comedy. Yet in season two, they went all mental health, which was beautiful. He started having panic attacks.
Yes.
And by the way, a lot of my friends stopped watching because it got too real. Yeah. And they said, we watched this to escape. Why are we talking about mental health in this one? So that was an eye-opener for me that they could... It reminded me that we all have a lot of pain, but comedy and pain can coexist, basically. Yeah. So that really stuck a chord with me, and I advise everyone to watch the show because I love how they tackled comedy and mental health in such a beautiful way.
Yeah.
And
that was genius, by the way.
Right?
Genius.
It was beautifully done.
And he delivered it brilliantly.
He's so good, Jason Sudeikis. So I think the biggest insight I took from that show, Ted Lasso in specific, is that pain is a part of life and it can coexist with happiness and good times.
Love it.
Yeah.
Next ball.
Next. This is fun. We should have started from the beginning. The ending you never saw coming.
Okay. So whether it's a series, whether it's a movie, is the ending that you just thought, oh my God.
There's so many.
So the first one that comes to your mind.
Okay, I'm going to say Game of Thrones because I didn't see coming how much it would suck. So are you a Game of Thrones fan?
I am a Game of Thrones fan, yeah.
So I never saw it coming that they could flop that hard.
The ending.
Something that I had been obsessed with. I didn't binge watch the show. I watched it one episode a week for, it was 8 seasons, but it was longer. It took like 10 years. So it was 10 years of my life watching one episode a week for them to ruin it this badly. And it opened up a debate for me. Does a bad ending ruin the whole show? I don't think so because the journey was wonderful.
Yeah.
But I never saw it coming that they could ruin the show that badly.
Yeah.
Same with Lost. Have you seen Lost?
I have, but I never watched the final season. I watched the first two seasons.
Which were the best.
Yeah.
It should have been a perfect one season, two
season. But this is 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was 2000. Yeah. It ended in 2009, I remember.
Yeah.
I was in New York at the time. And that was another one that I never saw coming, how they could completely not answer any mystery. They didn't tell you any answers, by the way, by the end of it. They ruined it completely.
Okay. Sixth Sense, did you see that
one coming? Of course. That's probably the ending you never saw coming, the OG of them all. Perfect.
Is that the OG?
It is.
Or Usual Suspects?
Oh, there's Fight Club. Usual Suspects.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, and Fight Club, have you seen that?
Of course.
Of course.
But we don't talk about Fight Club.
No, yes. First rule.
That was pretty good, man. I like that.
Yeah, that was good.
I'm going to keep that one. Yeah.
So those three are actually great options of the OG ending that just. And Planet of the Apes, the original one.
Okay.
I recently watched it because the new one came out. I wanted to see the original 1960s.
You did the ranking, right? I saw that. You did the ranking of all the Planet of the Apes movies.
And do you know the big twist of Planet of the Apes? Can I tell you? Because it's really cool. You don't know what it is, right?
No, I don't.
So basically, it's about astronauts land on another planet.
Yeah.
And it's run by apes.
Yeah,
that's the whole movie.
But
you know
how they got...
You know what the big twist is?
It was Earth.
It was Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
They see the Statue of Liberty fallen in the last second of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And Charlton Heston, the iconic actor, starts screaming. And it's perfect.
Yeah, very nice.
So good.
Come on, I want you to get to that question. Keep going. I wanted that question to come up.
Who would play you in a series? Is this the question?
No.
No. Who would play me in a series?
This is not the question that everyone's been debating. Who's going to play the D?
That is very vain of me. Okay, I have a very...
Yes, that's the question.
I have a very funny answer to this one. Since I started shaving my head after the hair loss like a year or two ago, everyone says that I look like Sean Evans from Hot Ones. Do you know Hot Ones?
No.
It's the best YouTube show
no.
where he interviews celebrities and he makes them eat wings, very spicy wings. And they're like crying through the interview.
Okay.
So he's bald and he looks like me.
Okay.
So I think it would be him.
Okay.
Next.
I don't know him.
Yeah.
What about Bruce Willis? You never have a Bruce Willis?
No, never. No, is content fragmentation, this is heavy, harming the industry?
So, you mentioned Hulu, Netflix. Yeah.
Disney Plus, Apple
TV,
Amazon
Prime.
There are
too many OTT platforms. There's still linear TV. There's still the cinema. There's still these little boxes you can buy illegally to get whatever content. Is the fragmentation of being able to watch content anytime, anywhere, on so many different platforms, is that actually hurting the industry itself?
I have so much to say. So on one hand...
Say it in a nice way. In a concise way.
30-second countdown. Let's do it. Yes, there's too many choices. There's too much choices now. There's too much content. And so you end up not watching anything and going back to Friends, right? That's what happens a lot of the time. But I love having this many choices because you will always find something that
Keeps you in a job as well.
Yeah, exactly. That I work with all the platforms. And it always gives you choices, which is brilliant. But we have reached a stage where it's too much, like I get overwhelmed, I get stressed, it gives me anxiety now. It was supposed to be my escape, keeping track of everything. But it's not harming the industry, you know why? Because it's giving so many writers so many chances, so many opportunities to come up with new shows because there are so many platforms.
But I'm lost. A lot of people are like, where do you start? Like, you subscribe to this.
What do you tell them? Follow Nads Reviews for recommendations.
That's the go to answer.
That's the go to answer.
Look, it is a challenge. I genuinely believe that there is too much choice. Where do you start?
Right.
Which platforms do you prioritize? I love going to the cinema. Cinema guy. I'm kind of old school.
Yeah, I love that too. Sitting in that dark room.
Yeah,
escaping.
Is this hurting the cinema experience?
Of course.
Are the box office numbers, because again, movies are being made in Hollywood. They're like, right, they look at the first weekend. If it doesn't deliver X amount of money in the first weekend, it's a flop.
That's
and they
true.
Push out the next one. So, and again, they still judge that based on cinema attendance, etc. X, Y, and
it's
Z.
It's definitely hurting the cinema.
So,
what's
the solution?
I don't know if you know, but now if you go to the movies, most of the stuff you see are blockbusters. The other stuff are just going straight to platforms, to streaming platforms, 100%. Because people are not paying to go watch this. They just go to watch an event movie. So how I don't know what the solution is. Hollywood is still trying to figure it out. But what is pretty decided or pretty agreed upon is that you need to have both. You need to have the blockbuster stuff and you need to have the artsy stuff. And it's good if you can give those artsy stuff theatrical releases. This is a big debate. But the problem is people do not want to pay to watch those. If they go to the movies, they want a big event movie, a Marvel movie, a disaster movie.
They
want to
sit back and just like just eat their popcorn and forget. Get that tub of popcorn.
Exactly. The deep stuff, they can watch at home.
Yeah.
That's been the mindset. Next, movies. Better now or better before?
Okay, self-explanatory.
Yes. Tough one. I think better... Honestly, I think movies have always had their good and bad. Like, I don't think this is a clear... There's a clear answer to this because there's always good movies and there's always bad movies. I will say series are better now because you have so many streaming platforms and so many options. And the now budget, the production values.
And the budget is massive behind each
one
of them.
So now you look at House of the Dragon and Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, all those big stuff. It's like a movie.
But at the beginning of the show, we talked about Baby Reindeer.
Yes.
It doesn't have a huge production budget.
Doesn't have. It's just a very good story.
That's it. Yes. So again, you need to have the budget, the production... in order to have a good story? No, is it just about the story? So what, again, if you're going to build a movie or you're going to build a series, what are the components that have to go in?
Script, number one above script. All else. Because next. Just like Baby Reindeer, you just need the script.
Next.
Casting.
Okay.
Because you could have an amazing script and the actors totally miscast.
What was the one, okay, on that, because it's a great segue, what is the one character that had the best script, but they were miscasted? They were the wrong person in the wrong movie.
All Arabic series. If I can't think of one, hiccup off the top of my head, something that was really miscast.
Okay. Chris Patterson and Batman.
Robert Pattinson. Amateur mistake.
I actually know Chris Patterson. Robert Pattinson and Batman. Was he miscast or not?
I thought he was until I watched it. I thought he was good as Batman, not so much as Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
Maybe kind of miscast, but it wasn't a total flop. Oh, I'll tell you a big miscast. Jared Leto as the Joker.
Okay. Like,
that did not work
George
for me.
George Clooney as Batman? How was that?
I think that was the script, not him, by the way. Okay. People hate him a lot for that, but I think the script was just horrible, Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze, all that was like a disaster.
Ryan Reynolds in The Green Lantern.
Oh, yes. But he made up for that in Deadpool. But that was also script, by the way.
Yeah, but
Green Lantern was a terrible script.
It was a terrible script. So again, so
he elevated it.
So you need the script, you need a great actor or actress. Right. Great. What's next?
Director.
Okay, best director. Who's the best director in the world right now?
I always go to Christopher Nolan for some reason, just because I think everything he does is a masterpiece, including Memento, which no one talks about.
I love Memento.
Yes,
right? The tattoos.
People just talk about Interstellar, Inception, all the new stuff, and Oppenheimer, but Memento was so cool.
And Nolan was also, he did the Batman, he did the Dark Knight Rises.
Of course, and the Prestige. Have you seen the Prestige?
Yeah, with the Hugh Jackman.
And that has the best twist ever. That's the ending I never saw coming. I won't spoil it if no one has seen it.
It's a good one.
Brilliant.
Very nice. So you need a great script, great casting, great director, anything else?
Everything. Music. Editing and movie making is about all these elements coming together.
But do you feel like sometimes there's something that you don't quite know what it is, but there's a bit of a magic, and it could be down to the context of when the movie's released at the right time that the audience need it. So there's movies that have come out, Grease, for example.
Yes.
Right, when that came out, that sort of captured the hearts and minds of the American
timing
public.
Timing is a big thing, you're right.
So timing, the context of this, I think is the one thing that people don't look at. Mm. So I would love to see what comes out of Hollywood or any other other regions in the next sort of 2 years, especially with all the geopolitical things that's happening.
100%.
To see if any of that can be captured. We'll see.
Your ideal cinematic experience.
Oh,
going to the movies, you mean?
We're
really leaving that question for the end. It's magical.
I think it is.
I love going to the cinema, sitting in a dark room. But honestly, the experience has been ruined lately. Do you know why?
Why?
Because people are on their phones.
Yeah.
There's nothing I hate more than seeing a screen light up while we're watching a movie.
100%.
And
someone taking a phone call behind you.
That is like level two. But I mean, just turning on, not even lowering the brightness.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to fight with everyone. They're ruining it for me. Sometimes I say, I don't want to go to the movies anymore. I want to stay at home. It triggers me so much. Wow, the last ball.
Is it the last
incredible.
One?
Incredible.
All right, can we have a drum roll?
How did we do that?
I'm having a drum roll on this question. Go on.
Okay, wow.
I've always wanted to know the answer to this question.
Is Die Hard the Christmas movie? I did not expect this. This is a big debate.
I'm telling you, this is the debate.
So for me, it is. Because I love watching it during Christmas. Just like you watch Serendipity, for example. But this is not. This is like a full-on action movie.
Yes.
But it's such a Christmas movie.
Thank you.
Not just that. I have another one.
Go on.
That no one expects as a Christmas movie. Maybe you haven't seen it. Batman Returns. It had Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. It had Danny DeVito as the Penguin. And it's set in Christmas, but it's not a Christmas movie.
And yeah, Michael Keaton was Batman.
Michael Keaton was Batman.
Yeah. But it didn't have the same hype as Die Hard.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That's probably why it was a bit under the radar. But it is
set the question that you've been dying.
That is the question because it literally divides the cinematic audiences.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, it's Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
So Nads reviews, everybody. Nads reviews. And what would you rate Die Hard as a Christmas movie?
Oh, 9/10.
Do the amazing.
I'm doing the Arabic.
Amazing. Yes. Look, mate, it's been a real pleasure. I think. From my side, you've been through a lot, obviously, from a personal life. The fact that you're so open to talk about it and you found your happy place to be able to talk about sad things, but also, like you said, by serendipity, happy things as well,
100%,
right? And
yeah.
I think that is something that's very admirable. And a lot of people should take comfort in the fact that it can be done. You can have pain and you can also have love at the same time and they can coexist. And you have a very balanced life with a great head on your shoulders.
Beautifully said. Thank you.
So
it was a pleasure talking to you.
Honestly, a real pleasure. Thank you for everyone who's been watching. Please like, subscribe, and share as much as you can. And of course, I'll not ask you the last question is, what would you rate the show?
Oh, 10/10.
Oh, kind man.
We'll see you. You'll see my video tomorrow.
Amazing. Mate, real pleasure. All the very best, and we'll speak soon.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.